Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast. This is JFM Podcast.
Every day, political stories fill our airways.
Morning, the national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular,
it is time for us to unite and move the state forward.
To the absurd,
the Senate president has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay
is
not good.
Motivation and even
the moral, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you, and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. It is the last edition for the week. My name is Ponsak Fanab. Thank you for joining, Gilbert. Good evening, and Jumat Karim to you, sir.
Good evening, Ponsak. Good evening, listener. Jumat Mubarak, Jumat Karim to you. Of course, Ramadan is still on. And
I think this is the 12th day of Ramadan.
Yes, 12th day. And of course, Palm Sunday is also fast at hand. Yeah. It's this Sunday. So it tells how fast and how quickly Easter is also approaching. Good evening.
Good evening, Gilbert. Well, I don't know what stories you are following, but I think we should start with this one. I always tell people that I'm a Gallifonian, you know. For people who don't know what that means, I'm sorry. Maybe when you meet me in person, I'm going to explain. But for now, that is, we should just, you know, leave it at that, that I'm a Gallifonian. the Gel district, PDP youths, under the chairman is Giang Dung Davo. They put out a statement congratulating my dear friend, you know, Honorable Simon Duzi on his appointment. He was appointed by the executive governor as a senior special assistant on media. And Simon is someone that I know very, very well. I mean, we've come a long way with Honorable Simon Duzi. When I saw, you know, this statement, I said that Simon is a true definition of what it means, you know, to be with the people, hear their concerns, aggregate, you know, what their interests are, and, you know, let the world know. I mean, he calls this show often, and he always share the problems, you know, of the community, any challenges that they may have, he always hears
attempt
it out
to them.
Yeah, and of course, some small. I'm sorry to say small, but small things in big ways, mm-hmm. you know, so to say. He has done incredibly well, especially when it comes, and he has been with the party that he has chosen, that is PDP, for a very long time. So this statement that was put out by Giang Dung Davo, you know, the chairman, Gel District, when I read it, I said, this is absolute. I mean, it's so captured. You know, how I know Simon as a person, as a human being, and even as a grassroots politician.
I saw the statement equally because, of course, you can't escape, you know, certain things that make the rounds in the media space. But for me, the particular attribute that caught my attention is the fact that they returned to say thank you. You know, and that's equal to what the 10 lepers, if you want to go scriptural, mm-hmm. One of the 10 lepers only returns to say thank you. And it's a rare, rare thing And it's a rarity, to say in simple terms, for you to find people return to even say thank you in such a manner. And they went for that to even quote the Holy Bible. When I saw it, I laughed. They quoted, I think, Isaiah 54, yeah. You know, verse 15 to 17, you know, praying for the governor for what he has done. And basically, at the community level, when people, you know, endear themselves to their communities,
yeah,
that's all the, you know, the people would need. And they never can even tell the impact that will go, you know, to do for them. And for Honorable Simon Z, it's going to really spur him to do more and to give back to his community, yeah, and by extension, the society.
Yeah, let me read, you know, part of the statement. They said, Simon Dungzi has been tested and trusted while he was secretary of PDP stakeholders in Gil District and later appointed as acting chairman after the demise of the late chairman Dai Giang Mali and confirmed as the authentic chairman of PDP stakeholders Gil District because of the good works he did. He also served as the youth coordinator during the campaigns and, you know, on and on. And so it's what a glowing tribute. Congratulations, my friend, Honorable Simon Dungzi. Now you are honorable, so I don't need to run into plenty trouble or problems. I will just give you a call and you attend to me. All right, Gilbert, I mean, what stories have you followed?
Let's talk about what happened
in Nasarawa State.
In Nasarawa State University. And I think that in citadels of learning, you know, such as Nasarawa State University, you expect better coordination, better human behavior, because, of course, that's the breeding ground for excellence. But what exactly is the problem? You know, do we have a palliative curse in Nigeria such that once anything palliative is distributed, or at the mention of the word palliative, you just have to fear for the lives of people who ordinarily should be nurtured, you know, and groomed to say, you know, by government, because the primary responsibility of government, of course, is to take care of the lives and livelihoods of citizens. But what happened today in that institution has left a sour taste in the mouths of everybody, including the governor, who has ordered for an investigation into the events and occurrences. And by the way, it's not just in that institution that he distributed palliatives, gave it out in the College of Nursing and Midwifery, and of course to the Polytechnic there, and basically other institutions. And from what, you know, reports captured, the distribution went on smoothly, except for the Nasarawa State University, where two people lost their lives as a result of the struggle that ensued between them and security, you know, personalities in charge of the distribution of the palliatives. It's something that we shouldn't be getting acquainted to. From COVID, you know, right up until the past few weeks, where people basically stopped trucks and articulated vehicles to loot those vehicles because, of course, there is hunger in the land and people have to survive and all that, even though not enough excuse to allow for people to perpetuate criminality, you know, in order to get away with what they think they should be getting on the platter. And I think that this has to stop. Governments must re-strategize on how to, you know, give palliatives to people. We agree, we understand there's so much plight, so much hardship in the land. But think differently, please, and proffer solutions to the problems that are facing society.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I just remembered, was it 2020 when the warehouse housing some food items was, I don't want to say looted, but it was broken into, and then foodstuff, you know, and items were taken away by, you know, the people. And it was during the COVID period when people don't, government told people that stay back at home instead of, you know, the people giving. I mean, it just reminds me of that, you know, scene. I watched that report live. I watched it on the BBC. When I saw, you know, that, when I saw the pictures coming from my darling platter on the BBC, I said, no, this shouldn't be what we're going to show the world. Like you said, I mean, why can't people just organize themselves? And the two female students that are dead right now, is reported that they allegedly died because of suffocation.
There was a stampede.
And it was on a convocation square. It was on the convocation square in Nasarawa State University. Very pathetic, very sad and painful, you know, that, you know, students or human beings will die in such a gruesome manner. Well, let's talk about, you know, the ban that Mr. President has, you know, placed on foreign trips. The presidency has come out to say that With this, the government will save 5 billion naira. I mean, that is a lot of money.
That's projection, right?
Yeah, is it? Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a projection. The presidency today says President Bola Ahmed Tinubu federal government will save 5 billion naira quarterly from the ban on foreign trips for ministers, chief of government agencies, and other official travels paid with public funds. I think that is a good one.
Way to go. And when this government first came into power, there was so much question as to whether or not it can carry, you know, measures such as this to cut down government spending, cost of governance, literally. And you remember the climate change summit in the UAE that had, I think, over 500 government officials, including Mr. President, or even more, you know, make the cut to that trip. And it generated so much reaction, so much debate. And probably it's an attempt by the president to say, look, I'm retracing my steps. I agreed that certain things were done in error, even though he hasn't accepted that publicly.
Yeah.
This is just to think that, look, he has taken stock and then come to the realization that Nigerians were right anyway, to say, look, the government was wrong to have sponsored that number of individuals into, you know, the climate change summit. So it's the way to go. And you remember about yesterday, again, in Abia State, we spoke about the signing into law, the bill to stop the payment of pension to ex-governors in Abia State.
Yeah.
And today, again, former President Olusegun Obasanjo, the one many people would like to ask whether he's the policeman of Nigerian leaders, has applauded Governor Alex Oti for taking that step, and is even urging other governors to take the same bold step.
Yeah, even Ben Gadania, former governor of Ogun State, Ogun State, Ben Gadania, contestant, also. Yeah, he said, stop paying me, you know, because he's in the Senate right now. He's the Senate. So he says, stop paying me, you know. He asked the state to stop it. So I think if it doesn't, for former governors, even if it shouldn't come, I think that your public, your conscience, you know, you have to look
should
at your side.
You.
Yeah, to say, no, I don't think I deserve, you know, maybe I have other businesses or I have other things that, you know, brings me money. So let me just, you know, allow, you know, this money to be used for the public good of the state that I love, you know, that even I serve, you know, at some point in time. So I think that personal morality, or I don't know
should
what it
guide,
is,
yeah.
but something should guide to say no. Because some of these governors are now senators, so they receive salary as former governors, as senators. So it's
and just when that happened, Ponsak, Oji Uzokalu came out to say, since he left office, he has never received a dime, you know, from the coffers of the Abia State government as pensions. I'm just wondering if, as recent as Oji Kalu, he hasn't received that, then who are the ex-governors in Abia State that we are hitherto being paid those outrageous pensions?
Yeah, well,
big questions.
Big questions. Well, we're going to talk about agriculture today. Over the last 2 weeks, we noticed that people will call the show and say they are in need of fertilizer, that the state government should release fertilizer. Some even allege that the state government have released fertilizer, but there is a racketeering, you know, ongoing, you know, with those fertilizer. And that's why we invited Mr. Ishaku Samaila Jilem Sam. He's the project manager, Plateau Agricultural Development Program, PADP. Good evening, and thank you so much for coming, sir.
Good evening.
It's good to have you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I don't know where for us to start from, but before we talk about, you know, this issue of fertilizer, the governor, Governor Mudfang, when he assumed office as governor of Plateau State, gave a directive or an order, 900 hectares of land to be cultivated for food production. Would you like to tell us, you know, what is the progress on that?
Okay, that was basically an intervention because there was crisis, as you would remember, and most of the farmers departed or they left their farms, and farms were grazed upon. When they came back, there was nothing. So the best thing to do was to cultivate the land and plant other crops that farmers can benefit from, for instance, cowpea or what we call beans. So that's what was done so that they will be able to support themselves.
Okay. How about the recent trip of Governor Mutfang, you know, to France to sign an MOU when it comes to food production in Plateau State? Would you like to tell us, you know, what is in for Plateau, you know, on that basically?
Yeah, you would recall the immediate past ambassador of France to Nigeria paid a visit to Plateau State.
Yeah, sure.
So it was based on that interaction that the French government invited the governor to France, basically to look at what we can do together. In one of the meetings, we're looking at how they can bring in technology that can help us revamp or bring better equipment to places like BUTEX, that's the Bukuru Technical College. Then the relevant technology at Laranto and places like that. So
Like to tell us more in detail, because I'm very particular about, you mentioned BUTEX, Bukuru Technical College. That place has been, you know, I would say near collapse. So what is the government thinking in revamping that place? Because it provides for technical education. The school was founded in 1961, very long time, but we haven't felt the impact, you know, so much on the plateau. What is the government thinking, you know, on that?
So that is the crux of that discussion. You know, we will need a push, we need help. We need to train the manpower. Like sometimes you see, we bring in tractors and they start breaking down. Some basic parts, we cannot even fabricate them ourselves. So you can't just keep importing those parts. Once they're here, we should move. And the French are quite keen to train our young people to be able to fix some of these things. If you had to assemble all the tractors that are broken down, you'll be shocked. Most of them here and there. So we want to get out of that mess that we found ourselves. So, and to bring in better machines now, more modern machines. If you go to Bukuru Technical College, you see some of the machines that are outdated now. So phase those ones out, bring better machines, train our young people so they can fix some of this equipment that we're thinking of bringing.
Let's look at the agriculture. There's so much buzz, by the way, as to how the fertilizer distribution is ongoing at the moment, because there have been complaints about, by people, you know, saying they're seeing these bags of fertilizers in the market, you know, with even insignias to suggest that they actually came from government. What was the original thinking of government about the distribution of fertilizers to farmers, and how did that go? And how did, again, these bags of fertilizer find their ways into the market?
Okay. Late last year, for the dry season, the governor directed that cooperatives, usually they're 10 or above in number, but we recommend that they are 10 in number. They get these fertilizers so they can go into dry season farming. And then later again, he said, okay, so for this thing to reach very deep into the state, that every polling unit should have at least 40 bags. So it was left for the people within that polling unit to decide, okay, who can come up with the money? Okay, the cost of it was subsidized. So they just come and buy, but you don't expect everybody, 40 people from each polling unit, then you come up in a ward, that could come to a lot of people. So you don't expect all those people to come to the center where the fertilizer is. So we expected that their leaders would take these things back to those who paid the money. But I can tell you that we're dealing with human beings, so not
machines.
It's
important for you to state that the fertilizers are not totally free.
They're not totally free. They're subsidized by the government. It's 6,250 naira per bag instead of 13,000 naira. So like a 50% subsidy on the fertilizer so that farmers can afford these things. Unfortunately, you're dealing with humans who have their own independent mind, and you cannot really guarantee that every one bag of fertilizer will get to where it should be. But for us, as a government, we are learning lessons. We didn't want to wait and get everything right before proceeding. So some of these things you are saying, we have heard them ourselves. And sometimes you sit down and ask yourself, what's the best course of action? Is it to go after these people, or is it to tweak the method? But I want to say to you that what we have chosen to do is to change the way we do things. For instance, now what we're doing is we're capturing farmers. So we have your details. We know who you are. So in future, you're not going to be seeing this kind of thing again. You remember what happened during the GES program under Goodluck administration? Yeah. Yeah, where a farmer would be in his home and he'd just get a text message. Yeah. And then you come and redeem. So that is what we are going back to now, to avoid these things that we're hearing. And let me quickly say that it also tells us that there's hunger in the land. And for people, survival is the number one thing. Because I'm sure if people are comfortable, they will not let this thing go to the market. And I'm sure also that this should be a concern to all of us. Because I heard that some of these bags of fertilizer were sold for as low as 5,000 naira. Now, if you accost someone, he will say to you, I will say it in Hausa, bayan ka bani abu kuma, sai bai zama nan abu kenan, kai zaka zo ka gaya mini abin da zan yi da wannan abun. So you see, they have concerns, and I tell you, some of them have genuine concerns. So we are thinking, okay, let's quickly get our people out of this kind of situation where they will get something that useful and sell it for an awful amount. Now, that same bag that was sold for 5,000 naira is 20,000 naira minimum. Now, these farmers will go back to the market and buy that at 20,000. What do you think will happen to the cost of food at the end of the day? So it's a concern to all of us, not just the government, everyone on the street. So I encourage, if you find this kind of thing, you see this kind of thing, all of us should jointly condemn it. We should all condemn this act.
All right. Really important that you made some admittance, sir. Yeah. But when you mentioned polling unit, you know, we're used to the fact that when government interventions are given and people say, look, let's take this to the polling unit, it means only those of the party in power get to benefit from that. In future, what are we saying? In order to just avert this perception that, look, oh, when you mention polling unit, it means it has to be, for example, Party A or Party B that's in power, and then the members of that party end up benefiting from that.
I can say to you that people voted for the governor across political parties. There are times you see a candidate and you even abandon the candidate of your own party for the sake of the state. So no one said that those fertilizer was meant for the party in power. If you go to the market, you see cereal or you see tubers of yam or you see potato, you can hardly tell where it's coming from somebody in a particular political party. You won't see that. So it's to take care of everybody who can come up with that 6,250 naira qualifies to get it. There's no saying. I remember where I come from. I said it on microphone. I said, this is not for any political party. Okay, anyone within that polling unit qualifies. And I remember that when people are coming with their money, make sure you look at certain categories, people living with disability, consider them traditional rulers, consider them, yes, consider the religious leaders. And these are not party members. So we made it very clear that make sure you take everybody along. So it's not for any political party.
At the PADP particularly,
yes.
Recently, I think that's some absorption of, was it 400 youth as extension workers? Can you tell us about that and what their role is and what exactly the PADP is doing in order to improve productivity with regards to farming and farmers in the state?
Okay, yeah, you rightly got it, 420.
Okay, 400.
We have a project called RAMP. Rural Agricultural Access Marketing Program. So they are constructing rural roads. So 20 will go to that program. Then the 400 will remain within PADP. We have several projects going on within PADP. So sometimes we push some staff to projects. And then when the project is over, they come back. So we have these 400 new staff. They started as ad hoc staff or temporary staff in 2017. And then they're now permanent staff. We're happy to have them. They are not all extension workers. Some are in the admin department because you need people in admin. Some are in accounts. Some are in the media, like your colleagues, yeah, who will help to tell our story. But a bulk of them, a greater chunk of them are extension agents. These will reach out to the farmers. So as we speak, we train them. I'm just coming from where we were giving them code, that's access code. They are going to go out there, document farmers, so we know the number of farmers we have, and we know who we're dealing with. Just like the bank does it, KYC, we're doing what we call KYF, Know Your Farmers.
Know Your Farmers. Uh-huh. So, I thought it was Know Your Customer. Okay, but Know Your Farmers, very important. Yeah.
So, and then we want to know what they are farming, where they are farming it, why they are farming it, what's the size of their farm and all that. So it will help us to plan. Without data, all these things that you mentioned earlier will happen, because then people will just show up. Nobody has a mark on his face that this is a farmer. Yeah. So, but when we have finished this process, when you come, we will just know that you're a farmer. And we will have your details. And if you have benefited before, we know that you can't get it. And this is something, the system we're using is like blockchain. Once you get that, it's locked and you can't change it. We know that this is what you're doing. So from our office, we can just pull the number of cassava farmers. We can just pull the number of potato farmers, vegetable farmers. So I don't have to start running around looking for people. Yeah. I can say, okay, I want to see farmers between 18 and 35. We just pull that immediately. We want to see...
Hands-on data.
Yes. We want to see those who are cultivating vegetables in Lamingo, for instance. We just pull it within seconds and we have them. We can say, okay, go more specific. Anyone that has done this for so number of years, we have it and we deal. So first of all, that's what we're doing, data, generating data. Also, we have come up with programs such as afforestation. We're going to do massive afforestation. The governor is highly interested in this, even asking what's going on now. It's just legal documentation that's keeping us. So we're working with farmers. We're going to plant 100,000 hectares of oil palm, 100,000 hectares of coconut. Yes, on the plateau. The land is green. The time is now. It's not a joke. If you go to PADP, you see some of the seedlings.
You need to repeat what you said, because 100,000, that is a lot. Is
100,000.
Connect that to the topography of the plateau again.
That's right.
How that would be
implemented. These things can grow everywhere. Even when you go to PADP, you see we've planted some already. So to show that it can work. So when I say 100,000 hectares, you might not have a plantation that size in one place.
Okay.
So if farmers plant in their individual farms, we calculate the number of trees.
Okay.
So it's either 100,000 hectares or 15 million trees. That will be planted. So I can tell you that would do a lot. You know, what gave us the impetus to do this? We thought if civil servants retire at 60, mm-hmm, why can't farmers also retire? But you know, farmers never retire.
Yeah.
They work and work until they drop. The reason is because they have to do that to survive. But the only solution or the only way a farmer can retire is these three crops. You can have these three crops. At a point, you don't need to do anything. If you have palm trees, they produce the fruits. These organizations that we're working with will come and offtake. You don't have to process the oil yourself, either the coconut. Coconut has 350 or more derivatives.
Wow.
So you just choose the value chain that you want to go into. So, and then we have rubber coming. Then we have coffee. We have banana. All these are things that we're planning.
Yeah, let's talk about coffee farming. It's something that some time ago, in fact, I have a friend that's what he does. You know, he's a farmer.
Yeah.
He processes. What are some of the, I would say, the encumbrances? Because it's like people don't know that coffee does well on the plateau if planted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to us about, you know, some of the advantages and the profits, you know, that comes with farming coffee.
You know, sitting across from Gilbert, I was just seeing visit Rwanda. And it's about coffee.
Oh.
How Rwanda was able to market its coffee.
Coffee, wow.
So they went to Arsenal and said, okay, we want you to advertise our coffee.
That's right.
So so they agreed, visit Rwanda, they wear it on their T-shirt.
Jersey.
Yeah. And also PSG, Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But what it means, they paid $200 million.
Wow.
But what it means is that at every game of Arsenal or PSG, they will serve coffee
from
in the
Rwanda.
Stadium. Yes.
From Rwanda.
Coffee from Rwanda. That's how they get their money back.
Wow.
So it will interest you to know that this was part of the conversation in France. We saw that they took interest in the coffee that we have. And now we are going to send 10 young citizens of Plateau to France to be trained on the coffee business. And then they will come back. So coffee, as you said, the challenge was the market. During the administration of Dara Jang, farmers were encouraged to cultivate coffee. They did. The challenge was the market. So what we're doing under this administration is market development. We make sure we get the market for something before we come back and produce it. So like you said earlier, what happened in France, most of the things, we were there doing a study to see what they were interested in. And we were able to figure out what they would be interested in buying. We took a few samples of what we produce here and we saw where the interest was going because it was an agricultural show.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. It's been going on for 60 years.
Wow.
But this is the first time Nigeria as a country is going.
And Plateau State too.
And Plateau State too.
That is
and I can tell you when we got there, we all saw how backward we are in agriculture. You know, other African countries, you go to their stand, you'll be wondering, like Rwanda, like Cote d'Ivoire, Cameroon. Of course, they are French-speaking, so they have ties with
France. Yeah.
But they've gone far ahead of us. But it opened our eyes. I tell you, henceforth, we can be making money. Whether it's flight money or whatever, we can make that money from the show in subsequent years. And there were meetings with the French Development Agency. There were meetings with flour mills has now we met with the MD and they are going to train agronomists on how to plant wheat and then they will offtake the wheat that will be produced in Plateau State, all part of that trip. I can go on and on. You know Fan Milk?
Yeah, Fan Milk.
So we met with Fan Milk because of our weather here.
Yeah.
It's a big consideration to raise cattle here for dairy. So because we're looking at our strengths, things that we don't have to compete. So it's vegetables or horticulture and dairy. In these two commodities, no state can compete with Plateau State. So we're choosing to focus on those ones. Then the afforestation for the sake of the environment. So we can look after our environment. If you notice, the temperature on the plateau is rising. Yeah. You hardly tell that there's any winter anymore.
Yeah.
So, but planting a lot of these trees, instead of planting any kind of tree, let's plant economic trees that will help to bring down the temperature.
Let's look at irrigation farming. We have a growing population, and it's good that some of these innovations are taking shape and all that.
Yeah.
And during the campaigns, one of the things His Excellency promised was to extend the farming calendar.
Yes.
What's the viability of doing that? And then how would PADP particularly, because of course you have a lot of stepping down job to do to farmers at that level.
Yes.
You have crops that basically rely on water, so much water to thrive.
Yes.
What's the thinking, what's the plan and arrangement towards extending the farming calendar?
Yeah, quite an interesting question. You know, the biggest challenge for irrigation has been energy. The cost of diesel keeps going up, keeps going up. Then the cost of the machines that will pump the water. So that's where we're thinking of coming in. Now we're looking for private partners. Because if you invest as a government, sometimes when you leave, you'll be sorry about the state of that thing. So we're choosing to work with private investors. We can push them. We can make the environment very comfortable for them to do their business. I was out on Sunday with a partner that came over. for vegetables, we went to Shen, we went to Du, we went to Zawan, and then the following day, Monday, they went to Lamingo and they went to Fobol. They saw that our farmers are already doing horticulture and that they just need support. So this is what we want to do. We're going to get people whose business will be to provide water. That is just your business. That's going to bring the cost of the irrigation down than every individual getting his own machine, going to get his own diesel, you know. So, and that's also a problem for the environment. So we have partners who are willing to bring solar machines. Okay, once it's shining, the machine will pump. We've tried it. We've gone out. We tried it, and it worked. So now just to scale it. So somebody's business, and we're going to train young people whose business would be to just supply water. Then we make use of the water bodies that we have. We have 960 mining ponds.
In Plateau. 960.
Yes. So if we can start making use of some of them, you just go drop this machine, the pump, in the water, and then it pumps water to a particular, and then you kind of section it. You know that this area, I'm giving them water on Monday. I'm giving water here on Tuesday. Then we intend to get them this keke. So you just roll it. It's something you can roll and put in your keke, and you drive off. You go to the next cluster. So that's what we're working on at the moment, to get people that can provide the water for these people. Then the next thing is the market.
Market.
Because, you know, they are perishables. If we don't think about the market and you ask them to ramp up production, then at the end of the day, they will be so sorry. Yes. So we're working on a system that will offtake everything to cut down post-harvest losses so they can break even. And then also we're bringing in hybrid seeds. Today I got some in the office, new. We're going to start selling them very soon. I can tell you from the first week of April, we should open our shop.
Again, at subsidized rates?
Yes. Yes. These are going to be at subsidized rates.
All right. Well, let's open the phone lines in case you just tuned in. We've been having a chat with the project manager of PADP. PADP stands for Plateau Agricultural Development Program. The program manager is Mr. Ishaku Samela Jilesam. Interesting conversation, Gilbert.
Absolutely.
The land is green mantra. I think that he's explaining
exactly in detail, breaking it down.
I can't get enough of that.
You get.
You can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 0812187777, or you call 0905566699. Don't forget to turn down the volume of your radio, or you turn it off completely before you call.
You can reach us on social media and drop your comments on Facebook at JFM Live, on X where JFM Just.
Let's take the first call. Hello and good evening. Oh, sorry about that. Call us back when you get a chance. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello, good evening.
Yes, thank you for calling. Turn down the volume of your radio, please.
No, the volume is turned off.
Okay. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yes, this is Isaac calling from the village of Shen.
Go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I just want to take time to appreciate the guests in the studio for breaking down the things. Most of all, have misunderstanding, most especially in the part of the fertilizer distribution. But with this explanation now, we are cleared on what have been going on and what have been doing. So I just, yeah, thank you for that. And concerning the Butex issue, it's a welcome development that something is about to be done in that site, because it will really help all the younger ones to acquire more skills and be self-reliant, and also help the economy of the state and the country at large. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, tell us your name. Join the conversation, please.
Thank you, sir. The voice of Angorku, but I forget that I don't have to follow.
Please go ahead. Thanks for calling, sir.
Thank you. You have spoken very well. Well, this is a very critical topic. For this country, the main economic scale of Plateau State, most especially, we are mostly farmers on the plateau. And when we discuss agriculture, Tonight, on the plateau, we should go and discuss against the security on the plateau. I'm appreciating the governor for his resilience and his doggedness to ensure that the farmers get fertilizer. But it's unfortunate, for the fertilizer that the governor distributed, did not reach the farmers. And that's just the truth of it. I complained last 2 weeks ago. To be candid, something needs to be done with the way or the product, how they distributed this fertilizer. I don't actually know how come some people have a 150 bag and you do some jobs, you see this fertilizer here, which is very unfortunate. How come someone will have more than 20 bags in his house and some having more than 100 bags? How? Did they sell the fertilizer to marketers? I'm telling you this because of what I've seen, Paul Sack. You know, black people have suffered setbacks in terms of farm produce due to insecurity on the plateau. And that's why the governor took the bull by the horns to ensure that people get the fertilizer to go back to farms. At least. But it's unfortunate. Those that the governor used them to distribute the fertilizer, they are not sincere. And these people are a bad class of people. That's what they do to me. And the reason is that for Sark, I've never set my eye on the fertilizer here in my community. How come? So I'm asking the governor, please. He should know those he is working with them. Some people at the back will be stabbing him and to cause locomotion in his administration. The governor is doing well. So that today is one water day. I actually know I always complain on the issue of water. We've not had water in my country ever more than 3 years ago. For that,
wow.
That thing should be done. For that, and I almost cried up till now. For that, I'm talking to you. I don't actually know whether this community is not part of the city of Anguarguba has been there for every government, most especially this government.
Yeah.
The government should come back, at least restore water for people to live.
Thank you.
Well, as we experience this outbreak, pandemic outbreak, how do we clean our environment? So I'm appealing to the governor as a listening governor.
Thank
you. I know he will do better. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll try to get the someone from the Plateau State Water Services Corporation, but the construction, you know, that happened, you know, the bridge construction has disrupted a lot of pipes there. Hello? Hello? Okay. Okay, 0812187777. Hello, good evening, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good evening, thank you for calling.
My name is Kelly. I'm calling from Barkilaji.
Yeah, turn down the volume of your radio, please.
You can hear me.
Turn off your radio, please.
Yeah, I don't hear you, sir. I just forgot it. Hello?
Okay, go ahead. Tell us your name, join the conversation.
I'm happy for the program of the... Your farmer is started to do in this plateau. If they can do continue as half men, maybe after this one leave, after this one destroy it. You can remember, sir, you get like a farm rice around Zomo side. How many that place he die? Plateau said they are trying, but if they continue that farm, they won't bother with whether with petrol or with Abuja. They also can feed the nation. If they can try, they go help Plateau State.
Oh, thank you. Hello, good evening, thank you for calling. Hello? Okay, like I always appeal, please, before you call, turn down the volume of your radio. It's very important. Hello? Okay. 0812187777. Or you call 0905566699. Hello?
Nice one. Good evening, Ponsa Fanap and Gilbert Joseph.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name.
Yes,
join the conversation.
Mon, calling from Barkilaji. My greetings to the guests.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, talking about agriculture on the plateau. You see, it's a nice topic indeed. I give it to the governor because he has a good intention for the farmers. But my biggest challenge, the biggest problem I have on the plateau now is just the security. You understand? Because now, if you could remember vividly, I think last year, there were some arrests that made that cows, they arrested cows in people farms, which that cows belongs to terrorists. You understand? And this community have been attacked for quite a long time. You understand? When they attack the community, now, if the community within those places, you understand, the terrorists reside around those communities. You understand? So now, I don't know which synergy the government is putting in place in terms of the safety of the community when it comes for the farming season. Because, you see, the terrorists are now raiding their cattle around our community now. Even the farms of the Plateau people now, the terrorists are raiding their cows there. You understand? So I don't know. Is it that the government cannot approach the security to go after those terrorists so that we can able to farm in peace? That's my biggest challenge that I face, that is paining me for now. I'm talking about the fertilizer, please, because me, as I'm talking like this, I'm a person with a physical challenge. You understand?
Yeah.
Because the best thing I stand with is farming. You understand?
Mm.
If I get little change, I can able to like kind of send people to farm to help me farm.
Mm.
And now, as I'm talking to you now, I don't have the access to the fertilizer. Even now, the community I reside now, myself and at my house, they're close to the polling unit, which they used to hold election. So now, when it comes to the distribution of this fertilizer, now, I tell you, I was born here. You understand? I'm brought up here. I grow up here. But anything that comes from government, for that my pulling unit, I know they see, even the seed of the fertilizer, I know they see. Now, after they talk to you now, I don't know how to access that fertilizer.
Don't worry. Our guests will give you information on how to access the fertilizer. Thank you so much for your comment.
And before I drop.
Yeah.
Yes, before I drop. You know, we should not talk with rumor. We don't ever joke with rumor. Take rumor 50% and do not take it 50%. If it happens, you save yourself. If it not happen, you save. Because there are some rumor on the ground. These three local governments, I'll mention it, Barkinladi and Pokos and Mangu, there are this rumor that is going around that during the farming season we will not farm. So I pray that our governor would
the security agencies, you know, will take charge. We'll bring that under control. Thank you so much for sharing your thought with us. Well, Gilbert, take us through.
Let's look at XES. Bold at Mr. Bold 247 says, I'm a member of the Oil Palm Growers Association of Nigeria. Talking about the palm project, it's about 200,000 palm seedlings. Government should put the back farms into use for farmers and get hectares for civil servants to be part of. Government should also encourage commercial farming in the state. And Blue Blood at Ua Diasen says, good evening to you all in the studio. The guest has spoken well. He said that the fertilizer is not meant for any political party. But in my area, they are in the hands of political leaders. So, they are selling it, you say, at the rate of 7,000 naira. That's, you know, what you're saying. Israel Daniel at Aizadan says, the fertilizer the governor gave as palliative for farmers, I know people that bought each bag for 13K. Is it free or for sale? Let's go to Facebook, where Julius Achigak says, the governor should invest heavily on mechanized agriculture on the plateau, and he should also do well in distributing fertilizer to the farmers on the plateau. Security of lives and property should also be handled well so that plateau people can go to farm without anything happening to them. Felkuka Factors go on says, it's a welcome idea to boost agriculture. I implore the government to provide fertilizer to farmers at affordable price to boost its agricultural outcome or output. Donzi says, this administration should come up with a viable diversification plan and therefore identify solid mineral manufacturing and tourism as key sectors on which to center its focus. Richard Egbita says, the government of Plateau State has done well with the innovation so far, but the government must do well to follow up to make sure that all materials given to the farmers get to them by monitoring the process. Atong Philip is saying, some of us only hear of the government's fertilizer, but don't see it. Seems only certain individuals have access to it and only those close to the government. We only see it with people but don't have access. This is quite unfortunate. You're saying, Godwin Sule says, thank God for this nice topic. Agriculture is a nice thing to invest in. Governor Caleb should invest in agriculture so that we have a lot of food in the state. Thank you and happy weekend. Danlaji David Lom says, I hail the government of the day. Let the farmers' data capture continue. To know the real farmers directly. Good day. And Bold Day, Bold Dave Jonathan says, on your topic, that's great news about the agricultural sector. To further boost it in Plateau State, I'd love to see the government invest in modern farming techniques, provide access to affordable loans for farmers, and promote agricultural training and research programs. Additionally, establishing agro-processing industries and improving infrastructure like irrigation systems can also contribute to the growth of the sector. Danlaji David says, the gentleman in the studio has spoken well. Let the government invest heavily on fertilizer to boost food production. And Joseph Angeli says, agriculture is good, but the true farmers are already out of the system because of insurgency. May God bring lasting solution to the citizens. Secondly, the fertilizers are not in the hands of true farmers again. Lastly, we are at the 400 tractors bought by the past administration. Good evening, Ponsak and Gilbert. Hapsin Manasseh says, I think government should provide fertilizer at a subsidized rate and encourage dry season farming in order to boost farming activities in Plateau State. Hapsin Manasseh, okay, I took your comment. Mukame Christopher says, JFM, keep doing the good work. It's only God that can help us in Nigeria. Long Jilong says, I think we're seriously in need of serious work, okay, on the security sector first, because people on the plateau are ever ready to engage agriculture. Secondly, let there be availability of fertilizer, and it will go a long way in boosting agriculture. Alfred D. Sunday says, for someone who borrowed land from someone to farm, can the person register for the fertilizer too? Albert says, government has done well. Please, I'm begging, whenever government is to share fertilizer, they should please do follow-up because it doesn't reach the real farmers, most especially in Mangu. The recent Gida Gida fertilizer that was distributed was not well shared. Finally, Ponsak, yeah. Landers Ail Waller says, when you hear people like your guests talk, you know that the time is now government knows what it's doing. I just love your program, and I love JFM. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for all the comments. So you heard Mr. Jilesam. I mean, they're talking about fertilizer. But someone made mention of back farm. Please talk to us about that. What is the thinking of government, you know, behind that? And he related it with the palm oil growers association. Talk to us about that.
Okay. Back farm is about 4,076 hectares.
Wow.
What you can actually cultivate is under 4,000 hectares.
Okay.
Some is rocky, some is hill.
Yeah.
That was being used as the ranch in the past. So still, there are efforts to mechanize that farm. We're looking for the right investor. Like I said to you, we don't want to do anything as government and go and invest in a place. Later, you'll be sorry about what you've done. So investors have been coming. We are waiting to see the person that has that capacity. Proposals are there. But I can say to you, before that investor comes, I have personally written to the MD of PIPC. They are the custodians of that property.
Okay.
So we've asked for the farm so we can have youths there. We have series of programs coming up that will involve the youths and the women. So we can use that place. We intend to do seed production there because I see we're putting a lot of emphasis on fertilizer and we're not talking about seeds.
Yeah.
That is equally important.
Okay.
Now, I want to say to our listeners, strongly pay attention to seeds as well. If you put all the fertilizer and you're using grain, what we call grain, that's a seed that you've used again and again and again is spent. No matter the quantity of fertilizer you put, you're not going to get the kind of output that you hope to really get. So you think about the two. Yes, fertilizer and then seed together with good agronomic practices, applying all the practices at the right time, then you can get it. For instance, I can say maize. You plant maize at the wrong time, there's nothing you can do to get the right yield. You plant it at the right time, it's like magic. So all these agronomic practices, you have to put them into consideration. So back farm, yes, is going to come back to life. The governor was even talking about Bokos Farm Project and other farms that the government has. This was just day before yesterday. He was saying to me, make sure you see what you can do about these things. But let me quickly say here, we will appeal to the communities where these farms are. Because at the time government was not using the farms, the locals went back to cultivate there. So if you come with a program, they tend to resist it. Sometimes covertly or overtly, you have to really use diplomacy to enter those communities. So I want to use this opportunity to say to everyone that is around farms belonging to government that are large farms, please allow us to work together with you. We're not coming to take the land from you. We're going to do the production together with the locals there.
In the community.
We want them to benefit,
thank
yes.
you.
But
thank
do
you.
Not oppose it.
Thank you. Thank you yeah. so much. I wish we can continue. Thank you, Mr. Ishaku Samuel Ajilesam, the Project Manager, Plateau Agricultural Development Program, PADP. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, Gilbert.
Happy weekend.
Yeah, well, thank do you. Have a good weekend. The news will come your way, top of the hour, 6 o'clock with Joan Davo. Stay here.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.